You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Imagine you were a scientist in the 1990s. You're flipping through a research journal, and a paper catches your eye. It's about how cracks form and spread in concrete. You start skimming it, and then slow down and start reading in earnest. It's great stuff, really insightful. Concrete is a very common building material, especially in the developing world. And when cracks form in concrete, those structures can collapse and kill people. But work like this could improve structures and potentially save lives. Your eyes jump to the top of the page, curious who wrote this. That's when you freeze. There is a name listed there, Valerie Fabricant. But instead of a job title like professor, Fabricant identifies himself as prisoner number 167932-D. His home institution is listed as a prison outside Montreal. Valerie Fabricant shot four colleagues in Montreal in cold blood after failing to get tenure. And maybe you're left thinking, why would a journal publish this paper? Shouldn't committing murder bar you from the scientific community? But according to many scientists, no. In fact, they argue that Fabricant's story goes to the heart of what science is, what it stands for, and why its morals are so different than the rest of society's. From the Science History Institute, this is Sam Keen and the Disappearing Spoon, a topsy-turvy, sciencey history podcast, where footnotes become the real story. In December 1979, Valerie Fabricant showed up at the Mechanical Engineering Department at Concordia University in Montreal. He was 39 years old, a short, slight man with graying hair and glasses. He claimed to be a political dissident from the Soviet Union seeking asylum. He begged the department chair for a job. The chair took a chance and hired him, which soon made the department chair look like a genius. Fabricant quickly won grants from places like NASA, and he published an amazing 25 papers in his first 4 years, mostly on how materials respond to mechanical stress. Fabricant was always boasting about how brilliant he was, and based on his track record, there was some truth to this. But to anyone paying attention, there were some troubling things going on. Fabricant kept slapping the department chairman's names on all his papers as a co-author, even though the chairman had not contributed anything to the research. It seemed like Fabricant was just kissing ass, or bribing him. Regardless, it paid off. The chairman promoted Fabricant several times in succession, and Fabricant's salary jumped fourfold in 4 years, from $7,000 to $30,000. Meanwhile, another, uglier side of Fabricant was emerging, the nasty, vindictive bully. If someone criticized his work, he would scream at them. He once flew across the country to a conference simply to yell at a professor at a different school who had denied him a job there. Another time he ordered a laser printer that cost $8,600. $8,600 back in the 1980s. And when it arrived, Fabricant refused to pay for it because it came a few days late. Then he got so belligerent with the supplier that the company cut off Concordia's credit. Fabricant also had a wildly inflated sense of his own importance. After his father died back in the Soviet Union, the government there owed him a few thousand dollars for a pension. Not surprisingly, the creaky, bankrupt Soviet bureaucracy dragged the matter out for months. So a furious Fabricant wrote letters to the Canadian government. Until the pension was resolved, he said, the Canadian government should halt all relief shipments of grain to starving Soviet peasants. Apparently, in Fabricant's mind, his pension and international famines were matters of equal importance. But hey, Fabricant was publishing lots of papers, good papers, and he was putting the department chairman's name on them. So his department did not punish him. In fact, after the printer fiasco, he got another raise to $46,000. By the late 1980s, a new department chair had taken over. Around the same time, three tenure-track jobs opened up at Concordia. Fabricant begged the new chair for one of them. If he didn't get it, he said he'd solve things, quote, the American way. Then he mimed shooting a gun with his fingers. In response, the chairman more or less laughed. That was just Valerie being Valerie. He was eccentric, a hothead. The important thing was his stellar publication record. So he got one of the jobs. Scarily, this threat was not an isolated incident. He later told one department secretary that, quote, the only way to get what you want in North America is to shoot a lot of people. In fact, he harassed so many secretaries around campus that a few had panic buttons installed beneath their desks. That way they could summon security if he got belligerent. Despite this, in 1990, he got another raise to $60,000. Still, by 1990, some of Fabricant's colleagues had grown weary of his tirades, threats, and harassment. They began holding secret meetings, discussing how to get rid of him. Meanwhile, a vice rector at Concordia consulted an expert on workplace violence. The expert warned her that Fabricant posed a serious danger. The vice rector in turn told her boss, the actual rector. But the rector shrugged. Professors were eccentric. What could he do? Somehow, Fabricant caught wind of these discussions, which he took as plots against him. In response, he showed up at a faculty senate meeting with a huge portfolio envelope. It looked like something to conceal a weapon inside. Someone called the police, who detained and searched Fabricant. But there was no gun inside the envelope. He'd been trolling everyone. And now he could accuse them of paranoia as well. Things came to a head in 1992. A block within Fabricant's department began working with university administrators, trying to get him fired or to force him to retire early. In response, Fabricant went ballistic. He learned how to email and started sending dark messages to people, saying that if he died and it looked like suicide, do not believe it. He swore Concordia was plotting to murder him. In reality, Fabricant was the one plotting murder. One afternoon in August 1992, he rode the elevator to the ninth floor of the mechanical engineering building on campus, where the faculty had offices. He was carrying a leather briefcase. He stormed into one engineer's office. In response, the engineer produced a letter. The engineer had actually been looking for Fabricant that week. He explained that the letter outlined when and under what circumstances Fabricant was allowed to visit campus offices in the future. The department was not going to take his crap anymore. Fabricant responded by opening the briefcase, removing a handgun, and shooting the man four times. He bled to death on the floor of his office, still clutching the letter. Afterward, Fabricant stalked down the hall, firing his gun into open offices. He shot 4 more people, 3 of whom died. Another colleague finally wrestled the gun away. Unfortunately, Fabricant had 2 more guns in his briefcase. Brandishing one, he took 2 people hostage into an office. There, he called 911 and demanded to talk to a TV news station. He admitted that he had killed people, but he wanted to explain to the world how the university had driven him to this, how he had been persecuted. He stayed on the phone for an hour, but at some point he put the gun down to stretch his cramping neck. Bravely, one of the hostages sprang up and kicked the gun away. As Fabricant lunged for it, the other hostage wrestled him down and pinned him until the police arrived. Fabricant was charged with 4 counts of murder. 17 days later, the university rector finally had had enough. He wrote Fabricant a strongly worded letter. It said, "You are no longer accomplishing your duties as a faculty member." Then he fired him. To those who might say, maybe that's too little too late, the rector threw up his hands. He blamed gun laws in Canada. Who could have ever seen this coming? It's a good question, because if anyone had done a background check on Fabricant before hiring him, they would have discovered something telling. That Fabricant had not been kicked out of the Soviet Union for being a political dissident. Instead, he had burned all his professional bridges there for, guess what? Disruptive and threatening behavior. It would have been good to know that, huh? True to form, Fabricant's trial was a narcissistic circus. He hired and fired 10 different lawyers. He finally decided to represent himself because no one else was smart enough for him. He called 75 witnesses in his defense, but he got so belligerent with his own witnesses that several started crying on the stand. He also called the judge a crook and was held in contempt of court 6 times. Fabricant even had the chutzpah to compare himself to an abused orphan and said he had murdered his colleagues in self-defense. After 5 nauseating months, the jury found him guilty of 4 counts of murder and sentenced him to life imprisonment. But if the world thought that they had heard the last of Valerie Fabricant, they were wrong. He quickly resumed his scientific work in prison. He was convinced that scientists would still be interested in his research. And he was right. Scientists were still interested in Fabricant's work. A stance that says a lot about science, and not necessarily something good.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Fabrikant's story raises obvious questions about gun control and abusive workplace behavior. But I want to focus on something else. The fact that Fabrikant, a convicted murderer, kept writing scientific papers in prison. Should he have been allowed to? And how should scientific journals have handled his submissions? In prison, Fabrikant had no access to a lab, so he worked on theoretical topics, like how cracks start and spread in concrete. And when Fabrikant was submitting papers, he did not try to hide anything. He listed his address as a prison near Montreal, and he included his prisoner ID number, 167932-D. He submitted his first paper from prison in 1994 to the International Journal of Solids and Structure. The journal editor reviewed it, decided it merited publication, and readied it for the printer. But word got back to Concordia. The university had fired its old rector, and the new rector was furious at the journal. How could they even consider publishing the work of a murderer? The families of Fabrikant's victims were outraged as well. The journal editor admitted that he felt torn. Fabrikant had obviously done something heinous. On the other hand, the science checked out. The paper was true. Would the journal be suppressing knowledge by not publishing it? After some more hand-wringing, the editor ultimately published the paper. And he was not alone in doing so. Fabrikant has published 60 papers in 20 different journals since 1996, all from his prison cell. He even has a LinkedIn page. This has outraged many people. Some have drawn comparisons to Nazi doctors running barbaric medical experiments during World War II. Experiments like deliberately submerging people in ice water to give them hypothermia, then trying to revive them. These critics demanded to know whether the editors who published Fabrikant's work would also publish research from those monsters. But as some people noted, that's a flawed comparison. The Nazi doctors were committing crimes in the course of their research. They could not have gotten their data without committing the crimes. That was not the case with Fabrikant. His work on concrete and other materials had nothing to do with his crimes. In which case, should he really lose the right to publish? Some people still said yes. They raised concerns about how manipulative Fabrikant was. Perhaps publishing papers was a sneaky way to impress a parole board and get himself out early. No one would put that past him. The new rector at Concordia also argued that, in committing his crimes, Fabrikant had violated the rules of society. He said that science is part of society, and breaking society's rules should also entail a loss of the right to participate in scientific discourse. It is a strong point. Science is not separate from society. But supporting that point puts you in an awkward position. Consider another group of people who publish things. Novelists and journalists. Much like scientists, novelists and journalists are part of society. So should prisoners lose the right to compose books and articles? Surely we don't want to say that incarcerated people have no right to publish their ideas. And if prisoners in general retain the right to publish their work, why should a prisoner who happens to be a scientist lose that same right? Indeed, scientists might have a better claim than other prisoners would. One of the ideals of science is not to take personal factors into account when deciding the merit of a theory. And if you don't believe me, how about Albert Einstein? As Einstein said, "The essence of a man like myself, a scientist, lies in what he thinks and how he thinks, not in what he does." Or, frankly, would you view this case differently if Fabrikant had been a better scientist? Fabrikant probably was not the genius he claimed to be. But again, he analyzed materials like concrete. Concrete is a major construction material worldwide, especially in the developing world. What if he had invented a way to make ultra-strong concrete and save people's lives in earthquake-torn areas? Or what if he had been a microbiologist and developed a cure for malaria or HIV? Should society put its foot down and refuse to publish such cures simply because a vile, narcissistic murderer came up with them? Incidentally, Fabrikant's case was not an isolated one. I've put together a bonus episode about another incident at patreon.com/disappearingspoon. It involves a biologist who also shot several colleagues, a rare instance of a female mass shooter. Her case also sparked debate about the incredible pressures of academia, as well as pressures on female scientists. That's patreon.com/disappearingspoon. To finish up, my latest book, The Ice Pick Surgeon, wrestles with the question of whether good, ethical people produce better science. Overall, I think yes. Moral people do produce better science. But the Venn diagrams of good people and good scientists do not overlap completely. And that leaves us in an uncomfortable position. Scientists consider the search for truth a morally valuable thing in and of itself. They also consider the spread of knowledge a good thing. At the same time, scientists are human beings who live in societies with rules and ethical codes. So what should we do when values about truth and openness conflict with values about protecting lives? You probably will not be surprised to learn that Valerie Fabrikant has continued to be a narcissistic prick in prison. He gets into petty fights with officials, and he has filed so many obnoxious and exasperating lawsuits that the Canadian government has declared him a vexatious litigant and barred him from filing any new lawsuits. He's also been denied parole twice. The board was apparently less swayed by his stellar publication record than his old university bosses were. Fabrikant is now in his mid-80s, and his publication rate has been slowing down. But even if he never publishes another paper, the questions that his terrible deeds raise about whether we can trust good science from bad people could haunt us for a very long time. This is the Disappearing Spoon podcast, brought to you by the Science History Institute. Be sure to check out their in-depth science history podcast, Distillations. You can find it anywhere you get your podcasts or on their website, distillations.org. You can find more incredible stories in my books or at samkeen.com. You can also book me as a speaker there for your school or event. If you like this podcast, please spread the word and support it at patreon.com/disappearingspoon. You can also get bonus episodes and signed books at Patreon. This episode was written by me, Sam Keen. It was produced by Mariel Carr, Rigoberto Hernandez, and Sarah Kaplan. Our sound design, scoring, and mixing is by Row Home Productions. Row Home's creative director is Alex Lewis. John Myers is Row Home's executive producer. Thanks for listening.
Row Home Productions.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.